If you remember last week, we talked about your benefit package. That was what the message was titled. Psalm 103, verses 3 to 5. I hope you've been putting that in as part of your daily expectation, daily life, what God has given you, enjoying the benefits. He's forgiven all your iniquities. You have been made righteous. You are pure before God. He doesn't hold anything against you. He doesn't even know your mess-ups anymore. They've been eradicated by Jesus. So there's no fear. He's not going to get on you. He's not going to tell you off. He loves you. And he eradicated all iniquities. Healed all your diseases. Anything that's diseased, discomfort. Anything that's not restful, not at peace. He's healed it all. Oh, there's some good benefits there. I mean, the world out there, they want all that. They wish they could live at peace. They wish they could live free from worry and anxiety and concern and all that stuff. But they don't. You have to know Jesus and his love to walk in that. And then you have to believe it. We saw that last week. Heals all your diseases, right? Redeemed your life from destruction. No accidents, no disasters. Nothing of the enemy can by any means harm you. Do you believe that? It's one thing to mentally assent to it and say, yep. It's another thing to really believe that God has your protection. He has angels stationed round about you. No accident comes near you. And your children. And your family. Yes, amen. He crowns you. That's that force field. The crown with loving kindness, the word chesed, and mercy. His great compassion. That's what he crowns us with. That's what you live in every day. Now we tend to get drawn into the mundane and the things we see, but this is just temporal. The true, the real, is what you don't see. If you can see it, it's not really real, in inverted commas. Okay, the real is the unseen. That's what created this natural world. And we live in the real world. You get to bring the benefits of the real world into this natural world. That's called the walk of faith. Walking with Jesus. Okay, crowns you with loving kindness. Fills your mouth with good. Ooh, I like that. Who likes good food? Of course, it's a lot more than that. It's really talking about fills your mouth with being able to declare the good that God has blessed you with. The good of his hand. Every good thing he's given to you. And then the last one, renews your youth like the eagle. Makes you a teenager again. Same strength, same energy, same passion, same everything. That's what God expects. Yeah, that's why Psalm 91 says, with long life he will satisfy you. That's long life without aging. You won't hear that taught many places, but that's what the truth is. Why? Because aging is part of the curse. And Galatians 3:13 says, you were redeemed from the curse of the law. Curse doesn't affect you anymore. So we talked about that last week. I just wanted to recover that and encourage you and motivate you again. Don't let go. Continue to thank God and walk in the benefits that he has given to you. And then we talked about how you get it. Obviously, it's one thing to have a benefit package, but you know, I used to work at L3. They had a benefit package. I don't work there anymore, so I don't get their benefit package. I know it's there, but I have to be employed by them to get it, right? God has a benefit package, and he has an employment that you have to be part of to get it. Interesting? That's fresh revelation from heaven. What is that employment package? What is it that enables you to get the benefits that God has given? Jesus. It's through Jesus. It's attained by faith, by your belief, okay? By what we believe. And that's why the word repent means to change the way you believe. And that's what we do every time. We meditate in the word, we hear the word, we listen to the Holy Spirit bringing revelation. It changes how we see things. It changes the way we think. That's Bible repentance. Renewing our mind. And so belief comes out of renewing the mind, and faith, belief, faith, same thing, okay? What you believe is what you're going to receive. What is it we believe? Jesus said, This is the work of the Father. You want to be employed by God? Here's the work of the Father. Believe on him whom he sent. Believe on Jesus. That's all it takes. What do you mean believe on Jesus? How do I get all the benefit package just believing on Jesus? Well, we sang about it. You believe he paid the price to give you everything God wants. When he went to the cross, it wasn't just to pay the price for sin. It was to deliver you from the curse, to deliver you from everything of the enemy's control, to translate you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, to make you a child of the living God, give you God's DNA, restore you back to the Father. Jesus did all of that. He overdid it all for every single person. His faith accomplished his death. And then he said, I go to the Father and I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Remember that scripture Remember that scripture where Jesus said, you being good, you being evil, give good gifts to your kids? And that comes straight after the passage where he said, if a son asks a father for a stone, is he going to give him a snake? Right? What did Jesus say? What he was illustrating was God, and then the last part of it says, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? See, as far as Jesus was concerned, the most important thing was that God lives in you. His power is in you. His life is in you. Everything of the kingdom of heaven is in you. The Old Testament believers, the Old Covenant participants, all those people, none of them had God in them. The Holy Spirit had come upon them. He came upon Samson. Right? That was said. The Holy Spirit came upon him and he picked up the doors and carried them out. He killed the lion, did all that stuff. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Guess what? He comes out of you. Doesn't have to come upon you, he's in you. His power is in you, operating through you. Do we believe it? Or do we let the natural circumstances dictate what goes on? I'm just warming up, praise God. All right? Okay, so it's what you believe. That's why it's so important we believe on Jesus. And, you know, 2 Peter 1:3 says, God has already given you everything that pertains to life and godliness, everything necessary to live Zoe life, God's kind of life here in this world. God's design for you is the same as it was in the Garden of Eden. He hasn't changed. You know that scripture, God changes not? Same yesterday, today, and forever. You go through. So if God in the Garden of Eden blessed Adam and said, be fruitful, multiply, increase, enjoy life, have a wonderful time, God hasn't changed. That's still his plan. That's how you know that none of the stuff that you see happening in this natural world, the curse, failure, disasters, accident, inflation, whatever you want to look at, viruses, all that junk is not God's plan. God has nothing to do with it. He has the answer to it. And that's you. Who said that? The Holy Spirit said that. Did you know you are the answer to what's going on in this world? What do you mean? You are Jesus walking here on this earth. As Jesus is, so are you here on this earth. So wherever you go, you get to bring the kingdom of heaven into your natural circumstances. Really off on a tangent this morning. Thank you, Father. But it's important that you know and believe that, because there are things that go on in our lives. There's attacks of the enemy. There's a curse out there that's operating. There's stuff that God wants you delivered from that you're possibly still struggling with, still living under, still working through in the natural timeline. But the Word says it's already dealt with. That's the belief. Do you believe Jesus paid for it at the cross? That's what we do when we take communion. We are reaffirming that belief. By Jesus' body, I was delivered from the curse. By his blood, I was made righteous. Not because of anything I've done. So how do I get it? By believing. And in fact, the Bible's pretty clear about that because he tells you how you can stop getting it too. You stop getting it when you try to get it. What do you mean when I try to get it? When you work, when you do things, when you operate to get God to bless you, you're not believing his blessing is there. That's a good measure of belief. Am I working to get something? Am I anxious over something? These are the words the Lord gave me. Anxious, concerned, worried, fearful. Is there anything in your life that's where you're at? It means you're not believing the benefits package that you have. So simple, change your belief. And when you change what you believe, you're going to change what you say. And when you change what you say, your life will get better and better and better. That's God's plan. He wants you declaring his word. That's what belief does. Have you ever found anyone who says things they don't believe? Not usually. They will lie, but that's a belief greater than the truth, what they're thinking. They'll lie because they believe it's going to save them from something. So they're still believing the lie is actually what they need to say. I get a little twisted there. Do you follow what I... Did you get that? People say what they believe. If they tell a lie, they believe telling the lie is going to improve their circumstances. So they believe in the benefit of the lie. Likewise in, well, if I want to make money, I'd better get a good job, I'd better work hard, I'd better... That's a belief in that system. Whereas God says, I am the one who supplies what you need. So what is your belief? God gives you the job so that he can bless you? Yeah, but more so that you can be a blessing where you go. Ooh, it's getting quiet in this church. Have a look at Psalm 34. Let's start there this morning. So you have the benefits package. Now, this is what came up in my spirit this morning. It wasn't part of the notes, but Psalm 34, as I was meditating and praying this morning, I got this phrase. Most of you have probably heard it. And it's actually a quote out. Peter quotes Psalm 34 in 1 Peter 3, I believe it's verse 10. It says, he who would love good days, quote Peter again, 1 Peter 3:10, if you want to write that down. It's where Peter's actually quoting Psalm 34, but this is what it says. It says, for he that would love life and see good days, okay, love good days, he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. It was that first phrase that came to me. He that would love life and see good days. Is there anyone here who would like that? Is there anyone in the world you think wouldn't like that? Why not? Because God's put that in everybody. That's the state of every human. They want to love life. They want to enjoy life. They want to see good days. They don't like being depressed, addicted, destroyed. Most of the addiction comes because they're looking for good days. They think that that's going to get it for them. Again, lack of belief. So here in Psalm 34, drop down to verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? Now, Peter translates that when he says it. He says, he will love life and see good days, that he may see good. That's the shortened version of that verse. Okay. Next verse. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. The word evil there literally means anything that's not what God says. Because God's the one that speaks good, right? So the opposite of evil is good. So he that speaks good, you could write that in there rather than he that speaks evil. Okay. So when you say what God says, now you're speaking good. Keeping your tongue from evil, you speak good, and your lips from speaking guile. What is guile? Guile is the attempt to get something you want by deception, by lying, by half-truths, by whatever, manipulation, trying to get benefit by what you say rather than just letting the truth say what it says. So there's David's recipe, lips from evil. Notice he doesn't say there, help your neighbor, be good to your friends, look after the poor. If you want good life and long days, what's the key here? It's what you speak. You see that? And what you speak is what you believe. That's why Jesus is so strong on believe on him whom he sent. Believe the truth, which will change the way you speak. Okay? Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now this is the key verse that came with, if a man would love life and see good days. Depart from evil, that means don't have anything to do with it. Don't let it become part of your life. Don't live with it. Don't put up with it. Anything that worries you, concerns you, anything of the curse, sickness, disease, lack, poverty, pain, depression, anger, whatever you want to list. Okay, depart from that and do good. And that there, do good, that's what the religious people love. Right? In the previous verse we were talking about speaking. And where it says here, do good, I thought, sounds like there's something I've got to do. So I went into the Hebrew, and the Hebrew word there is ein shin hay. Ashen. Okay? That's the Hebrew word that means do. Ein is a picture of the eye. Shin is the picture of God. Hay is the picture of grace. When I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, and do see God's grace. Good. Boy, that I... Okay, the word do, I'll say it again, the word do is three letters in the Hebrew. And you all know, most, I believe you all do, each Hebrew letter has a picture with it, a pictogram, that you can take a meaning out of. Just like you have skip sequences, there's also pictures in the Hebrew. And so here, the word and do good, the word do is the word Asian. Asia, rather. Ein, shin, hay. Ein is the picture of the eye. Shin is the picture of God. It's the three, it's like a W for us. It's what the Jews put on their doorpost, and wherever they go in, they kiss it. That's the letter shin. It represents God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? God. Ein, see, God, hay. Fifth letter is the picture of grace, breath. See God's grace, do good. See God's grace operating through you to minister life. I was like, thank you, Father. So depart from evil and focus on God's grace. Interesting how grace came through the singing this morning. God's ability in you, God's divine favor. Seek peace. Ooh, there was more here too. Seek peace. You know, shalom is the word peace, which means total deliverance from the curse. Your total welfare. Not just lack of war. It's actually total healing, wholeness, provision, protection. Everything God wants you to have, that's the word shalom. When a Hebrew says shalom, shalom, he means, well, if anyone owes you anything, I trust they pay it back. If anything's hurting, I trust it gets healed. If anything's lacking, I trust you get it. That's what they're saying when they say shalom. It's a lot more than just peace. And it says seek. And that word seek, when I looked it up again, it was basically focus on God. Seek peace. Keep your eyes on God. His peace. Right? That's where you get peace. It's in Him. And then pursue it. This was another one. Pursue. The Hebrew word for this is three letters again. Resh, dalet, pay. Resh is a picture of the head or the leader. Dalet is the door. Pay is the mouth or to speak. And pursue it. In other words, speak it. Get your mind on Jesus, the head. Resh, dalet, let your mouth, your door, speak. Declare what God says. All right, so having put that in place, it shows you how to get the benefits is through what we say, through what we believe, through how we declare what God says. Matthew 11:23-24, right? What a man says, he shall have what he says. That's a short paraphrase of that. Okay, let's go over to a couple of verses that I started with last week. Philippians chapter 2. This is just to remind you that it's not what you do, in inverted commas. It's not your performance that gets you the benefits. Because I titled today's message, Benefits Come by Grace. That's how you get them, by God's grace. Here, Philippians 2 verse 13 says, For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Remember we saw that last week? God's got good pleasure for you. He wants you loving life. He wants all those benefits we've talked about. He wants you to enjoy that. And here he says, it is he that works in you. And that work means in the midst of, in the center of, according to, that's the place where he operates. It is he that works, does the effort in you, both to will, in other words, to give you the desire, to give you the ability to will and to do. His power does it. Of his good pleasure, his blessing, his benefits. Okay, so much more I could say about that, but I'm not going to. But turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We are going somewhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The benefits of God's grace. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now we just read that his desire is to will and to do his good pleasure. And here Paul says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now I want you to look at this scripture in terms of what it means for us individually. Because it says that God is able to make all things. Do you agree with that? God is able to. What tense is that written in? It kind of gives the impression of future tense. Yeah, he's able. Sometime out there, he's able to do it. Right? It's actually written in the aorist tense, the word able, which means it happened at a point in time. All right? The word abound, the last two, at the end there, that you may abound, that's in the present tense. So God's present plan for you is that you abound in every good work. The word abound, if you look it up, it's twice in there. It says, all grace abound, and then that you may abound to every good work. That word abound is the word parousio, which means to excess, superfluous, above and beyond, more than you need. You like that? Okay, that you may have more than you need in every good work, for every good work. For whatever God calls you to do, he wants you to abound in the abundance of what? His grace. A better way for saying this, because the word able, for God is able, is actually the word dunamis. It can be translated as able or power. I think most of you know dunamis as God's power, God's dynamic power. It's where we get the word dynamite from. Dynamic, dunamis, right? So God's dynamite, and this is how I translated that, for God's power has made, because it's aorist tense, has made all grace abound toward you. When did that happen? When Jesus rose from the dead. God made all power available to give you grace. His power made all grace available, should I say. So what is grace? You know, we're a grace church. A new covenant church is a grace church. Why? Because the new covenant is the message of grace. The old covenant's the message of law. New covenant's message of grace. So when it says here that all grace may abound, the definition of grace is God's divine favor. You've also probably heard God's riches at Christ's expense. You remember that one? Right? God's divine favor. Jesus paid for it. 2,000 years ago, God's power in raising him from the dead made all of God's favor abound toward you. How many resources does God have? Does the word unlimited come to mind? Everything? God's not short of anything, is he? So when he says he makes his grace excessively toward you, I wish I had the strength for this. I wish we had, I wish, Should be no wishing. Ooh. What do we believe? Because of the way we've been raised, we believe there's always shortage. In fact, the whole of the economic model of the world, you heard what economics defines? Economics is basically the allocation of scarce resources amongst abundant opportunities. That was what my economics professor defined it as. Economics is how you allocate the scarce resources to the abundance of needs. And I'm like, that's definitely the world's way of thinking, because God's way is, how do I allocate the abundance of my resources to those few needs you've got? That's God's economics. I like that. It makes a lot more sense. See, God has no shortage. It's not like he's sitting up there waiting, I wonder how we're going to fix that problem for him. He's already done it. He's already given it. He's already supplied it. That's why I gave you 2 Peter 1:3. It's already given. There is no lack. God has no shortage. Where is the shortage? Our belief, our expectation, our faith in terms of our seeing how big Jesus' faith is. What has Jesus done for us? Because that's what that believing is what causes us to miss out on the benefit package. What do I mean by that? Anytime you live in mixture of Old Covenant and New Covenant. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. The Laodicean doctrine, also the Nicolaitan doctrine. Okay, both of those require performance on your part to get the benefit. Our society has conditioned us from children that it's performance on our part that gets us the benefits of a good life here on earth. If you work hard, you're honest, you do all the right things, you get a good education, etc., etc., then, yeah, you'll probably, by the time you get to your 40s, 50s, have a nice house, all the stuff. That's the world's expectation. That's what they put on people. That's how they're educated from when they're children. Scarce resources for all these needs. You better work hard. That's called the law. The rules and regulations of life. You don't believe me? Well, we'll have to look at the scripture then, won't we? I want you to see the passage that this is written in, okay? God is able to make all grace abound. Let me put it this way. God's power has made every grace abound into you. It's not toward you, it's in you. In so that it can get out. That you always, notice how many times he says all, always having all sufficiency. In other words, the supply is never lacking. There is always more than you need. There's always an abundance of his provision. For every requirement, everything, that you may abound to every good work. Now, God's grace is not there for you to do every evil work. It's every good work. Remember, we define the difference between good work and evil work. Okay, good work is what the Holy Spirit is motivating you, leading you, directing you to do. Evil work is anything you do of your own performance, anything that falls after what I want, my self-effort. That's evil work. So when we're following Holy Spirit, being led by him, all grace abounds. So if there's lack in your area, it comes back to what you're believing. Now, this is not condemnatory. This is trying to motivate you to change your belief. Okay, I'm not saying, well, because you've got some lack or some problem with anger or disease or whatever, that you need to change the way you believe. And then start seeing God's sufficiency in all things, God's abundant supply. Now, I raise this, and we're talking here about why, because I wrote down in my notes here, why don't I see it in every Christian's life? Why don't we see that benefit package manifesting? Why don't we see all Christians living healthy, blessed, provided for, protected, free from worry, at rest, enjoying life, having fun, seeing people healed wherever they go, delivered from the curse, loosing, destroying, undoing the work of the devil? Why don't we see that? Because of believing. What do I mean by that? Okay, let's look at this passage. Go back to verse 6. But this I say. Wow. Is that really where this passage is? That verse we just read about all God's supply? It's in a passage to do with your lifestyle. Look at this. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And God is able to make, and God's power, for God's power has made every grace abound in you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things are able to abound in every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So looking at this verse in context, we can get all excited about every gift and all the good stuff God's got for you and his abundant grace and all that. When you look at it in context, it's talking about the outworking of that grace in your life. He which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. In other words, as the Holy Spirit quickens you and you choose to follow his leading, that's called sowing bountifully. If he quickens you and you choose to do self, what I want to do, solve my problem myself, that's sowing sparingly. What's reaping bountifully? It's called the benefit package. What's reaping sparingly? Not getting much of the benefit package. Probably never seen it that way, huh? Why? Because it's usually always taught about money. That's what you hear preached now, you know. Give us a seed and God will repay you 100-fold or bless you bountifully. You know, give a big seed, you'll get an even bigger blessing. Only give what the Holy Spirit tells you to give. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't take up tithes and offerings here. I leave that between you and the Lord. You find out what he wants you to give, where he wants you to do it. You choose. Follow his leading. Tithe is an old covenant requirement. And the reason it's taught a lot, and they use this grace to say every man should give the tithe. Unfortunately, most people who give the tithe see the second half of verse 7. Or they fit into the category of the second half of verse 7. There's no joy. So I've got to write out that 10% again, but like giving my taxes. Got to write out my taxes. Right? They get that same attitude. Why? Because under the new covenant, it's not about a set of requirements, what you have to do, a set of rules and regulations. It's about the Holy Spirit leading you and directing you in your finances. Letting him bless you, letting him provide, letting him direct where you give, what you sow. Don't put yourself under law. Because law short circuits. It's called sowing sparingly. All right, as it is written, he is dispersed abroad. Now, given to the poor, that comes out of Psalms again. And I believe Paul throws that in here because he wants to remind you that the manifestation of God's abundant grace, of what you believe, is seen by the world in your lifestyle. It's seen by how you treat people. It's seen by the love that comes out of you. It's seen by the ministry you're involved in. Whatever it is, that's what the world sees, right? And so what he's saying here is, he's dispersed abroad and given to the poor. His righteousness remains forever. That's a statement of the result of you receiving the abounding grace. That's a consequence of following the Holy Spirit. That's part of the harvest. Now you'll get a much bigger harvest when you get to heaven. You get a crown and a glory and everything else that God's got for you in store up there. But here on the earth, there is a blessing. And then in verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, who's that? God. What's the seed? Isn't there a parable Jesus told? The most basic parable, right? Parable of the seed, the sower, sows the word. So here you go. He ministers seed to the sower. In other words, he gives you his words to speak, whether it be in English or in tongues. He gives you his word to speak. Say what I say, son. If there's a lack there, say, thank you, Father. There is no lack in our house. Thank you, Father. No sickness comes nigh our dwelling. Thank you, Father. No accidents occur to us. Say what he says. Thank you, Father, your abundant grace, always flowing. Thank you, Father, I hear your voice, the voice of another I don't listen to, the voice of self I don't listen to. Say what God says. So he ministers that seed to you, the sower, and he ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown and the increase of the fruits of your righteousness. That tells you who supplies your daily needs. Bread, dollars, food, whatever you need. Okay, he multiplies that to you. He ministers it to you. That's again a changing the way we believe. Our income is not based on our performance. Our income is based on God's supply. And as you follow Holy Spirit, his multiplication starts working. His increase comes. Always having, wrong verse, giveth, verse 12, 10 rather, ministereth bread for your food, for you to eat, and multiply your seed sown, the great increase that God wants. And that's in every area of life, mentally, physically, financially, socially, family, you name it. All areas, as you sow the word, as you declare what God says, God multiplies that seed. And the final one, and increases the fruits of your righteousness. Now that really encouraged me, increase the fruits of your righteousness. What that means to me is you get to live with a lot less negative, evil self-thoughts. That's increasing the fruits of your righteousness. It's clearing up your mind. It's clearing up your conscience. It's letting you live free from all of the negativity that's in the world. That make sense? Does that encourage you? It does me. That's the benefit. One of the benefits that God gives is he multiplies the fruits of your righteousness. To me, that's called peace. Shalom. The fruits of your righteousness is living in rest. God's peace. God's rest. Have a look at Romans chapter 11. Romans 11 verse 6. Helps follow up at Romans, not 1 Corinthians. Romans 11 verse 6. And if by grace, now this is talking about the passage here is Israel's rejection of Jesus. And he says even back when Elijah was around, God had kept 7,000 who didn't bow the knee to Baal. And Paul is picking that up and illustrating it to say, even at this present time, verse 5, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Okay, in other words, there are people who have received the gospel of grace. And he says in verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Now the reason I bring this out is because the benefit package that I've talked about, the title of today's one is God's benefits come by grace. Okay. This tells you why I asked that question, why don't we see it? We saw a little bit there in 2 Corinthians. Okay. Why don't we see God's benefits in every Christian's life? And this is where Paul answers it. And if by grace, in other words, your election, your being brought into the kingdom of heaven, you're getting the benefit package, you're being employed by the Holy Spirit to do what Jesus does, that benefit package says, if it's by grace, then it is no more of works. It is no more of your self-effort, of what you have to do, how you have to perform to be a good Christian, how you have to read your Bible, pray, go to church, give your money, give your time, do whatever. It's no more of that. Okay? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. Now, we read about the abounding grace God has. He wants you to have it. He wants it to be abundantly supplied in your life. He supplied it. He wants it to manifest in your life. in all sufficiency in all things for every good work. That's what he wants. But here he says, if that grace is based on any of your works, it's no more grace. We'll carry on reading. Is no more grace, but if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. This is that doctrine of mixture. This is what short circuits God's grace operating in our lives, is when we mix in our performance. When we try to get it by what we do. By my belief. Okay, that's where I wrote down all those words, worry, anxiety, stress, fear, concern. All of those are like warning lights on the dashboard that you're back into works. You're trying to fix it. You're trying to figure out how to solve it. You're trying to... How about this one? Pray for me. Have you ever heard anyone say that to you? I get it all the time at the store. Pray for me. I need help. What should they be saying? Declare with me. I have already received it from God. I want you to praise with me for his answer. Why? Because when someone comes to you and says, and that, I see this a lot, they think that by more prayer, God's hand's going to move. If I can get 15 people to pray, if we can get a bunch of people to fast and pray, maybe God will answer the problem. Wrong believing. See that? This is one of those sacred cows, boy. Because Christians really believe that you have to, you know, we need to really get in there. We need to get, let's go again, let's pray and believe God. We storm the gates of heaven till God answers. The gates aren't locked, people. God's not withholding. He's already supplied. It's already done. See, your prayer life changes when you believe what the word says, not what you've been taught or what experience has shown you. God has already done it. He's not up there withholding the blessing. His abundance of grace, his abundant resources have already met the small needs that you have. Do you believe it, or are you going to worry over it? Are you going to, I need some people to pray with me. So what is it? When you come and someone says, can you pray with me? My answer is, well, what are you believing? What have you received from God? If they say, well, I want to be healed. Well, God says you already are. Oh, but I don't feel it. Do you go by your feelings or by what God says? Most Christians start looking at you like, where'd you come from? What rock did you crawl out from underneath? That's not the way Christians think anymore. But should it be? That's what the New Covenant says. Jesus supplied it all when he rose from the dead. He made it all available. God's not withholding. He's not up there saying, well, when you perform right, then I'll do it. Why don't we see it today? Because we've been educated out of faith, out of God's completed work. Even to the extent where they say, your faith's not big enough. You haven't received it. Your faith's not big enough. That means there's a work you have to do to build your faith. No, get your eyes off what you have to do. Get your eyes on Jesus. Is Jesus big enough to supply your needs? Has he oversupplied your needs? Has he already met all your needs? Yes, when you see what Jesus has done, that builds your faith. It's not about you trying to convince yourself. It's you seeing how good God is. And so here in this verse, the short circuit is when we think we have to perform. When it's by my activity, by what I do, that I get a blessing. The biggest challenge we face is that's been the way we've lived since we were children. And so renewing the way we think God's way and to see his provision and his blessing is a big challenge for us. How about Galatians 5:4? I'm just going to give you a couple of scriptures to back up what I'm just saying, because I can say, stand here and say it, but you need to see it out of the word. Galatians 5:4. Christ, that's the anointed one and his anointing, all of his supply, all of his provision, is become of no effect unto you. There's a sad verse for a lot of people. Christ has become of no effect to them. Why? Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Justified by the law means proved by your works. That's what we just read back there in Romans. Works and grace, the two are not compatible. You can't, they're mutually exclusive, okay? You can't have grace and works combined and expect the benefits of them. You either work or you receive it by grace. Because if you don't receive it by grace, then it's by work. It's not by grace. You did it. You follow me? That's what Jesus said. You remember the parable of the guy's going to work in the vineyard? The landowner goes out first thing in the morning and finds a bunch of people and negotiates a day's wage, and they go in and work his vineyard. He goes out at 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, sends more people out there, and then when they come to get given, he gives them all a day's wage. The last guy's come indignant. You've made us the same as them. We bore the heat of the day and did all the work. What was God's response? Just because I'm good doesn't mean you need to get bent out of shape. But in our natural mind, well, it's not fair. Who said God's fair? Ooh. God's good. Fair is average. Evil, fair, good. God's good. Right? He wants you to have abundantly above and beyond, regardless of your performance. In fact, he doesn't want your performance. He wants you just receiving it. Notice the only people that negotiated the wage were the ones that started at 6 in the morning. They negotiated with him for the day's wage. The others, the father came and says, or the man came and says, go work in my vineyard, I'll pay you what's right. There's a clue there. They went and did the father's will, or the landowner's will, and they got abundantly blessed. The ones that negotiated for it, well, we'll work if you pay us the right amount. I'm going to pray until I get that bless. I'm going to... Ooh! Okay. Christ has become of no benefit, no effect unto you, whosoever are justified by your works, or receive, try to receive by your works, by your performance. All right, we had a few more in here too, but have a look down at verse 16 of Galatians 5, since we're in that chapter. This then I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is Galatians 5, verse 16. At the end of this passage where he's talking about works and grace, he gets down into what the works of the flesh are, all right, devouring, biting one another, etc., etc., and then we get the fruits of the Spirit further down. But here in verse 16 he says, but this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh is the lust of self-effort, the lust of self-performance, the lust of being our own God, figuring out how we need to do it. Worrying over something till I figure out. What does it say here? Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Just follow Holy Spirit. That's all walking in the Spirit means. Listen to your spirit man. Follow him. Let him direct your life. Let him guide you. Let him bless you. Let him provide for you. Let him be your supply. Let him be the abundant grace that satisfies every need that you have. Let him do it. And that's why Romans 5:17, that well-known verse. You want to reign in life? You want to be successful? You want to fulfill every calling God has for you? You want to see people healed, delivered? You want to see this natural world brought back under the reign of Jesus, overcoming everything of the enemy? Then receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's Romans 5:17. Those that receive the abundance of grace, which is not the abundance of self-effort, not the abundance of works, not the abundance of worry, not the abundance of what I have to do, the abundance of grace, God's divine favor, God working in and through you. Receive that and his righteousness. Renewing the way we think to see ourselves as God, his righteousness. They shall reign in life. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. All right, final verse, Philippians 4, chapter verse 19. You know what grace is? I said it was God's divine favor. Do you know John 1:17, do you know what that verse says? The law came by Moses, grace and truth came in Jesus Christ. Right? Grace and truth. What is grace? Wrong question. Who is grace? Jesus. He is grace, true grace. Like grace and truth in the Greek, there's no and there. It's grace. It's the true grace. The real grace of God is Jesus. He is the supply. And so here in Philippians 4, verse 19, another well-known verse. 4 verse 19, but my God, so my God, shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Notice the context again of this one just as we finish. Verse 18. Actually, it starts up in verse 15. He says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Quite simple what the church at Philippi had done, is they had gathered an offering for Paul, and they sent it off to him with Epaphroditus. Paul gets it and goes, wow, thank you, Holy Spirit, because you have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit to minister to my needs. Because of that, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. It's the principle of seed time and harvest that we read in Galatians there. Sorry, in 2 Corinthians 9, right? He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that sows bountifully, he that sows led by Holy Spirit will reap bountifully. God has supplied it all. And it manifests when we let Holy Spirit lead us and direct us, not when we try to earn it and do it and get it by our own performance. And of course, that final comment that I think the Lord had me or gave to me as I was preparing, I stand up here and I share these truths, and it's not, I don't want it to come across as condemnatory or you messed up or we failed. Rather, it needs to be a ongoing revelation of the goodness of God to lead us into his abundance, that we get to live in that every day. So if and the comment that the Lord showed me was, there's some areas in our lives where grace is manifest abundantly, and there's other areas where there's still mixture going on, where there's still what we have to do, my performance, my behavior, where we need to change the way we think about those circumstances, whether it's about family, whether it's about our jobs, our businesses, our lives, whatever, health, depression, whatever it is. There's areas where the abundance of God's grace is flowing, and there's areas where he's still renewing us, changing the way we think. So don't feel condemned when you look at this and go, well, obviously my finances are in a mess, therefore I'm not doing what God... Don't feel like that. Say, no, thank you, Father. You are the one who supplies, and I receive the abundance of grace for that area. And that's why you look and say, is there any area I'm worried about? Is there any area that I'm confused about? Is there any area where I'm struggling in? Time to rest. There is a rest for the people of God. That rest is the shalom of God, God's peace, God's provision, knowing he is the one that sorts it out. And then all your job is just to wait on God and hear from the Holy Spirit. What do I do for this? How do you want to work through me to fix this situation? Maybe it's just praying in tongues over it. As a very good start, just get to praying in tongues over whatever you're worried about, because that's the Holy Spirit praying out God's will in those circumstances. So this week, be excited about the benefit package that's starting to manifest, is increasing in its manifestation, that you get to enjoy this week following Holy Spirit. Praise God. Amen.